All right, the choir, if you ever wanted to sing in the choir, come on. We ain't going to do no tryouts. We're just going to have you.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Standing. Okay, well, it's glad, good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to see so many people back. And it's nice to be able to put some of that behind us. The weather's good. And you know what I was reminded of this morning, that we're not the only people in the world that have ever gone through something difficult. And you know what? People come out the other side because God's still on the throne. And we've got that to look forward. Nice to have everybody back today. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay, we got Pastor Kermit here with us this morning. Good to see him. And Joy, he was, when I would come in here and preach, I always enjoy listening to him in a revival and his comments and amens and the amount of scripture he knows. It's good to have him with us this morning. Went and saw Eunice and spoke to her a little bit about her sister. And, you know, she took a little bit of a turn for the worse, but they got some of that under control. So keep praying for her. And there's still quite a few that are out that are not able to be with us. And if you see somebody that you know hasn't been here in a while, you know, we have a church directory, or holler at me, and if I don't know it, I'll get a hold of Arnold or Lloyd or one of them. They always know the addresses. We'll get you an address. If you notice somebody that's not here and hasn't been here in a while, you know, it would be a good idea. Go home, send them a card, and just say, hey, you know, we're the so-and-so family. Just want to let you know we love you and we miss seeing you. And that goes a long way just to kind of keep together during all of this. Did you get that sign-up thing? Okay, so after the service, there's going to be a sign-up sheet here. The first Saturday in March, Maggie and I, and well, we're going to get some help to do it, depending on how many people come. But we would just like to host a dinner for the seniors. We thought about trying to invite everybody out to our house one by one, but we live too far out. So we're just going to do it here at the church. It's going to be the first Friday, or the first Saturday in March. And a little bit of the menu item we're going to have, Brother Wendell is going to help me fry fish, so if you like that. But if you don't like fried fish, there'll be an alternative. We got a guest speaker that's going to do the devotion that night, and it'll be just a good time of fellowship. And so if you know somebody that is 60 and older, if you know somebody that fits that category, and they're not here, invite them and let them know about that date. And I think that's all the announcements I have, unless I'm missing anything. Brother Ronnie.
73. All right. If everybody please stand and grab a hymn book and turn to page 73, or Brother Deacons will come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Matt, would you ask blessing and offering, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the chance to come into your house, Lord. Lord, we pray that we'll be here today. We honor you, and we look to you for our guidance and your counsel. Lord, we just want to be a great thanks to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that died on the cross for our sins, Lord, that gave us the chance to have everlasting life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that someone here, Lord, doesn't know you. Burden and understanding of our lost condition.
what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Singing and appreciating that little amener over there. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be turning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. And Brother Greg, Cassidy is oh, there you are. Okay. All right. She is great with child. Amen. Ready to have this baby. Now you're going in tomorrow, but you could just go into labor today. Which would you rather have? Just you want to pray for labor today, but not right now. I've had people have heart attacks in services. I've had people have seizures. I've never had anybody have a baby in service. So, but you're going to go in tomorrow, right? She's going to have her baby tomorrow, so let's pray that the Lord will be with her and get her through that safely. And excited to be able to meet her and looking forward to that, and also praying that maybe she doesn't have to be induced, you can just have it, amen. You know, I remember Maggie, our first one, she had to have a cesarean section, and we went and got Mexican food. I think you went in on a Monday too, right? Now, we had a visitor at the church, and we went and ate dinner with him. And we went to an all-you-can-eat Mexican restaurant. We had to hit it at the time right before, you know, there was a cutoff where she couldn't eat anymore. And that night, she woke me up in the middle of the night crying. And I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Well, I realized today's the last day with just me and the baby." And I was like, well, we all knew this was coming, right? You know, those were exciting times. I was actually got to be there for every one of our children. Now, the cesarean went pretty easy because she had she was under anesthesia. I do remember this. We're in the operating room, and I got to watch that whole process. And the lady there knew that we had been, we were praying about going on the mission field. And the doctor actually, she said this. Maggie's my witness. She said, here, I want you to pay attention to this in case you ever have to do this in Brazil. I said, are you crazy? I said, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to have do a cesarean section on my wife, no matter how deep in the jungle we get. But she said, no, you need to watch this. And I thought, that's not something I'm ever going to do. All right. Well, enough with babies. Hey, Brother Kermit, would you do us a favor this morning before we open the Word? Would you stand and lead us in prayer this morning before we open the Bible? Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And then I want to go on down to let's pick it up in verse 26. And this is talking about the crucifixion here. We're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26. Then he released Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And that, when you read this, you think, you know, not only just one soldier was there. Think about what this must have been like for Jesus all by himself. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand, in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Could you just even imagine those people that were involved in this process of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? When he doesn't have a crown of thorns on his hand or nor a reed in his hand, could you imagine having to meet this very same person that you did that to? And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, this is to say a place of skull, they gave him vinegar to drink and mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head. Now look at verse 36. Is that not sad? And sitting down, they just watched him. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, that thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, and the scribes and elders said, He saved others, he cannot, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And it goes on down and goes through the whole crucifixion. Now, I want you to go down to verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves in his resurrection, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, this was the Son of God. During this event that you had going on here, there were at least two people for sure that went into this event but came out of the event different. We know for sure that there was one thief on the cross prior to going to the cross or being that close to Jesus, maybe did not have the same opinion of Jesus as he did after the cross was finished. During that process, one thief came to the realization that the person next to him was not just a person. One thief realized the person next to him was innocent, that the person next to him was what he said he was, the Son of God. And during that event, the mind of that one thief began to change as he came in contact with nothing but pure love and somebody who was innocent. He knew he was guilty. During that process, this man went from being lost to being saved, just inches away from Jesus Christ. He had a different opinion of who he was during this process. He knew something was happening there that was not ordinary. He knew all of a sudden this was not just a man, maybe walking out with him, maybe carrying the cross. He thought, well, this is just another person that did something wrong. But watching Jesus die on that cross, his opinion of Jesus changed, and he saw him different, and he said, you know, true, that this is, and he said this to Jesus. He said, when you enter your kingdom, at that moment, he knew this was not just a person, that he was a king. And you know who somebody else's opinion that got changed through this whole process was? That centurion. As he's watching this whole thing, going up to it, no doubt, Brother Greg, he had part in whipping Jesus, or at least was overseeing the guys that did that. He's the one that led him out there, or was the one that gave the orders. He was overseeing all that. He was one of the soldiers in that band that was present that day, who thought they were just executing a common criminal. But after that was done, and after seeing Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't get up there and yell like the other at the other criminal did. Jesus didn't act like him. You know why? Because he was not a man. He was the Son of God, and he was doing something much bigger than their minds could even comprehend. He was saving me and you and all, and anybody that would be willing to come to him. That's what he was doing. And during that process, he didn't die like a man. He died like the Son of God. Amen. That was giving his life. It was not taken from him. It was not something. He did that willingly. They, in their mind, may thought they had control over that situation, but they had control over nothing. And on that day, that man said this. Something happened here. He said, truly, this is the Son of God. When you read stories about the Holocaust and you go back, they say that if you visit some of those places where these concentration camps took place, that were mass graves, that the people say that the water in that area, that you can't drink it because it tastes funny even to this day, and that's because of the amount of bodies that are buried in the ground. There are places that you can go where the Holocaust happened, and you can still find, like today, Brother Carl's big into this, and other people, they like to find arrowheads. Well, you can go to those places and find fragments of bones and teeth in the ground. And even though that happened 80-some years ago, you can go to that place, and you have to deal with this one thing. Something happened there. May I tell you, those two men knew something special. An event like no other event took place that day. You know, and it was something that you could not deny. You know, you can go to the Holocaust Museum and you can see that glass room filled with shoes or yellow stars, and there's just hundreds and thousands of them, and you cannot deny that something happened in the Holocaust. May I tell you something? You could go to Calvary today and you could not deny the fact that something special happened that day. Do you not feel a little bit as you relive this in their mind? And here's Jesus. He truly is doing this for you and I, and they're making fun of him. They literally took his clothes off, all of these men, and they're pushing him and they're shoving him. And then they put this crown on his head and they give him this wreath and give him a fake robe, and they're actually bowing down to him and saying, "Hey, you're the Son of God." But at the end, you know what they said? "Whoa, maybe we shouldn't have done this, because truly this is the Son of God." Something happened that day. What he was doing, he was making it possible so you and I could go to heaven, because every sin has to be paid for. And you know what? If you were to witness, go there an hour after they took Jesus' body down off that cross, you know what you would say? "Hey, there was an execution here." You couldn't deny it. You could see it in the ground. You could see it on the cross. You could see it all around that place, that the blood trail leading up to Calvary as he carried the cross. You would say, "Something happened here." You could not deny it. May I tell you something today, folks, that as Christians and those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, something happened there that you and I were involved in. You might not have even been born. Well, of course you weren't. Okay, but you were involved in that. You were a part of that event before you were ever born, because Jesus died not only for the sins of the people there, the sins of the people that had lived before that, and everybody that was going after that. And every Christian ought to be moved by what happened at Calvary. And I mean, a gift given to you that was paid for dearly by the life of not just a person, which would have been big, but more than that, the Son of God, a gift this world has never seen, given personally to you, to anybody in your family, everybody that you know, everybody that you care about, that you would want to be in heaven, are all covered under that same payment, the blood of Christ paying for the sin of all mankind. Amen. Given to us that day. Something special happened. And then the day that you got saved and you received that gift, you became part of that process, and now you know him personally. We cannot live day by day as though he did not die for us. Amen. All right, that'll be something that needs to be remembered. We cannot deny it. Jesus Christ was punished. They said he was innocent. They declared his innocence, that, hey, he didn't do this. He didn't do anything. We did. And he was there paying for our sins. Okay? With that said, as we go through our life, there ought not to be a day in our life that we don't live as though somebody died for us, as though we were given. We cannot treat life careless, although we do. We cannot waste this time on this earth, although we do. But if you stopped and thought about what was given to you, dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be something in everybody's heart because of what he did for you. You cannot, that thief there that died next to Jesus could not deny something happened in his thinking, and that was not just a man anymore. Same way with a centurion. But once you've done that, and once you've gotten saved, and oftentimes because we weren't there and you can't reach up and actually put your hand on the cross and pull it back and see the blood on your hand, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just because you couldn't see his body wince every time they hit him with that whip doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just because you weren't there when they spit in his face doesn't mean he let them do that for you and for me. It happened. And because of that, in our lives of gratitude, receiving the gift of salvation, that there ought to be an eternal gratitude that's lived out every day in our lives. And with that in thought, I want you, if you would, to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. We'll go to verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Once we have given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot forget that something happened on Calvary, that he actually paid for my sins. And out of gratitude, I should want to be a vessel that he can use. It's something that I shouldn't make you do. It's something that I shouldn't have to hold it over your head. It ought to be a natural desire of every believer in this room to be a vessel that Jesus Christ can use, to present yourself in such a way that says, hey, listen, you died for me. From this day out, I'm yours. Is that over the top? Is that something that ought to be the least we can do, is to say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Why? Because of what you've been given. And there ought to be a desire for us to possess our vessel in such a way that he can use it. And what he said here is this. I want you to read this as we look at it. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from things that are dishonoring the Lord, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the things that are no good for eternity. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you know when we come in this morning, you know what we're doing? As we're presenting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ for worship. And we're a vessel. But may I tell you something? Sometimes we have totally downplayed what Jesus Christ did on the cross ought to equal out of us our absolute very, very best. Oftentimes you hear that about clothing. You hear that about you ought to come to church wearing your absolute best. Now that's not a bad idea, but may I tell you something? Sometimes we forget this. Even though I can put this suit on, the vessel can still be dirty. Even though you can dress to the nines and wash your car before you come to church and have every church manner you should have, you could still be sitting in church in a dirty vessel. Because it's not the outside that makes a person clean. It's the inside that makes a person clean. You know, you can have a suit on but had an argument with your wife on the way to church that would make Hollywood blush. It is possible. And we've all been down those roads. It's easy to do that, but then to walk in here and, you know, stand straight up, and then your family wonders, well, who in the world's that? You know, that wasn't the same guy in the car the next minute. It was funny the other day. Maggie, she does talk to text, and it's funny. Okay, listen, we're just real people, right? You know, Maggie will answer the phone. It'll be the church phone, and she'll say, hello, this is Maggie Barnhouse. I'm thinking, what? Where was that lady 5 minutes ago? I'm tired of picking your stuff up off the floor. Don't you know where the clothes hamper is? And I'm thinking, now, I need to be a church member. Next thing I ought to go to the church so that it shows up at home calling from Helenwood Baptist Church, and I'll get, hello. Now, I'm picking on my wife, but you know what? She can turn around and do the very same thing to me. She says, man, I need to just go back and be a church member. I just need to be if you treated me like you treat your church members, we'd be married for 50 years. The bottom line is this, guys. We bring a vessel to God. How many times do you think you've actually brought a clean vessel? I mean, one that he picks it up and says, Dave, there's some actual thought put in this today. That what you brought to me, I could tell you really meant it. Thank you. He knows it won't stay clean forever, but I can do it for a little bit. He knows that I'm going to have to clean it up again tomorrow. But he can know, now wait a minute, you put some thought in this, David. You understand that I'm holy and I deserve your absolute very best in your thoughts, in your words, how you treat people, what you do, your efforts for me, for heaven. Why? Because I cannot deny that something happened back on that cross that involved me. I can't deny that. And it ought to be my heart's desire to bring a vessel, a living sacrifice. Okay, if I'm going to be a living sacrifice to God, you could not bring to him. You can't go to your sheep and say, well, this one probably isn't going to make it, or this one's got a broken leg, or this one's got spots all over it. I can't sell the wool for that. I'm just going to give that to Jesus. That wasn't allowed in the temple, but we bring that quality of service to the Lord every day in the church today. We give God things that we wouldn't even give our employer. We give God things that we wouldn't give our hobbies. We let God deal with what's second best instead of what's first best, because he deserves that. Oftentimes we bring a vessel that is not fit for the master's use, that does not equal what he did for us. Do you know that's the reason why that we confess our sins? That's the reason why we're honest with each other. That's the reason why you should never quit working on who you are, because Jesus Christ deserves the best. Now I know that I can't give him sinless perfection until I get to heaven, but may I tell you something? He deserves my best. And it ought to be a short account. It ought to grieve my heart every time. Even an unkind word, bitterness, envy, strife. It's not just the big 10 that you think about that defiles the temple. It's even a thought of unkindness or doing something with a wrong motive. There is so many things, because he is pure and he is holy and we're down here, but he deserves it. And it should be an honor for us to bring to him a vessel that we put some time and effort and making sure that these things don't build up in our life. I mean, we come to church and we wonder, where's the power of the Holy Spirit? Because we all walk in here with dirty vessels. Man, we might have a tie on, we might have a jacket on, and you might be wearing a dress, but that doesn't mean that we're a vessel on the inside. That's where God looks. He looks at the whole week. He looks at every day. He looks at every minute. He looks at every thought. And if we can just think about that in our mind and say, listen, I need to be driven by the fact something. Listen, I can't go. I'm not even Jewish. And I wasn't even alive during World War II. But when I go to that Holocaust Museum, how come I cannot keep from crying? I feel dirty just being in that room. Something happened. May I tell you, something greater than a Holocaust happened. And that is the death of an innocent man, the Son of God, for all of humanity. And that ought to grieve my heart. That ought to be on my mind every day. And if we're going to do museums for things down here and take the time, what should we do for Jesus Christ? Okay, so here's the last part. After we realize and spend a little bit moment on Calvary, then you think out of gratitude what I ought to do with my vessel. But how when we live in a broken body, how do we keep the sin out? Let me show you this, if you would. Let's go here to let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. We'll start in verse 33. Luke chapter 11 and verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Here's a thought. Is light the absence of darkness? Or darkness the absence of light? If we were in this room and I shut off all the lights, blocked all the windows, and made it pitch black in here, you could take one candle, one match, Brother Matt, you could strike that one match and light one candle, and immediately you would recognize that light in this room. You could take one candle, put it over there in a corner, and as long as you don't stick anything on it, you're going to be able to see that light. Now, if you took a room full of light and you took that same amount of darkness, you wouldn't see it, right? But you can just take a little light and it'll penetrate a whole room of darkness. May I tell you how you keep the vessel clean? You got to let the light in. Because when you let the light in, the darkness has to go. And you know, if a little candle can make a little spot, can you think what would happen if you started opening the windows? One by one, all of a sudden, and then you hit the light switch, all of a sudden you drove the darkness right out of there. Because Jesus is light, Satan is darkness, and he can't stand in the light. And you know what this verse is saying? That if your eye be single, your eye is the gate to your life. If your eye is single, meaning this, focused on one thing. If your mind is focused, or your eye is focused on one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's just focused on one thing, let me say it, put it this way. I wrote this down. If you have but one great absorbing object, this state of mind implies that if you're just looking at one thing, you have one target inside of you, you don't have any room for anything else. In that state of mind, the Spirit will not be resisted and quenched. But on the contrary, His influence will be sought and devoutly cherished. If you're just if you can get your eye singled on one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can just not forget about what happened on that cross, if you can, in your daily life, do things that let the light in, if you do that, there's not room for that darkness. You can drive it out. Now listen, I know it creeps back in. You know why it creeps back in? Because we're the one that's covering the light. Let it shine. Open the windows. Put things in your life on purpose that bring light in you. Read your Bible. How many of us can say you prayed for more than 2 hours this whole entire week? I know. Listen, pastors can't even say that. Do you know? And then we wonder why we walk around in darkness sometimes. We don't need to. If you want to present your vessel and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, let the light in. Listen to things that are honoring to Him. Watch things that don't have the evilness of the world in it. Surround yourself with the light, and guess what? You're going to find out that darkness doesn't stay around so much in the light. In the light, it exposes. When you turn the light on, here's some, this is David Maggie, honesty week. You know, my wife is a lot more, she's OCD than me. I'm like, who cares? But I try to do dishes with my wife, and she absolutely hates me doing dishes because I just run it under the water, take my hand. I just ate off of it 5 seconds ago. Germs, and I still don't know if germs can stick the glass anyways. So I run it under hot water. She picks it up, and she'll hold it up to the light, and she'll go like this. I said, well, sure, if you do that, you can find dirt on anything. I said, why don't you just pick it up and stick it in the cabinet? Why do you have to hold it up to the light, you know, and start? I said, if you wouldn't do that, you wouldn't be so worried about, I don't know it's there, therefore I'll eat off of it tomorrow, and I don't care. But of course, if you start rubbing things and running your finger, oh, you hear that, click, 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 click. I'm like, just stick it in a drawer. You'll forget about it tomorrow. Well, can you imagine what the light does in our life? When, see, Maggie, she'll hold that up and she'll turn. She's actually done this in my kitchen. She says, I'll show you there's dirt here. She'll take it to the light, okay? And then she starts turning it. And then she says, see right there? Scratch, 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 scratch. May I tell you something? When your eye is single on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to be the big things. Those are, I mean, obviously, I can get the big chunks of food off of it. I wash that down the drain. But there's other things that still wouldn't make that plate clean. And man, just because you get the big things off doesn't mean that it's good enough for God. Just because you're not out getting drunk every weekend, and just because you've been married for 50 years and you've never had an affair, doesn't mean that your vessel is clean. Because God has a light that exposes the tiniest particles of sin. And even the tiniest particle of sin put Jesus Christ on that cross. Amen. And you wouldn't hand God a dirty plate, even if you could take it up to the light and you knew it was there. You wouldn't even hand Him one with a fingerprint on it, because you know what? He deserves better than that. But then you've got this constant darkness coming in. And I just think about the power. It says that Jesus is light, and in him no darkness at all. None. That the more of him that I can have in me, the less of the world that's going to be in there, because it'll force it out. The problem is I limit the light. I'm the one that shuts the windows. Yeah, you know what? A little candle will still keep a room from being pitch black dark. But think what would happen if we just started opening the windows up. The more you're around, the more that you stop and you think about God. How many times do you go the whole entire day and not even think about God? How many times you go through the whole entire day of just being letting the world take you so far away that it's an afterthought at the end of the day? You know what happens? You're fighting sin with a candle in a corner. But what would happen if we begin to say, no, every day, every moment, I need to have in the background of my mind what I'm doing. What I'm doing is something happened 2,000 years ago that involved me. I cannot deny it. I am going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Out of gratitude, I want him to use me, but he can't use a dirty vessel. And the only way that he can use me is if I clean up the inside. And that can only be done through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be done in my own effort. If I am careless with the world, the darkness comes in. And when there's darkness comes in, the plate's dirty and he can't use it. But may I tell you something? You can drive light. You can drive darkness where it belongs simply by the light. And isn't it amazing that no matter how far away you get from the Lord, and sometimes it's just been so long, you ever find, am I the only one that after maybe you hit a rough spot in your Christianity that you find that reading the Bible is a little bit difficult, but the first time you get past that hurdle and you realize all of a sudden, it just makes me feel better. Now, granted, there's a moment of regret as I realize, man, I'm dirty. But then when I realize he loves me anyway, it just feels so good to be around the light. I'm tired of the darkness. It's all around me. Boy, it's so good to be around the light. There's a power there that I don't have. A cleanness, a pure heart. Do you know that the light is such this way that the moment that prodigal son started heading towards home, the light just filled his life and drove the darkness right out of it. He was already forgiven the second he pointed that direction. He was already, his father was already looking. Isn't it great that all of a sudden on our darkest day, you let the light in, and it doesn't matter how bad it is, all of a sudden you just feel like you're loved and you're cared for and you got a chance, right? His mercies are new every day. And every day, although, do you know that you can mess up on an hourly basis, and in that same hour, stop and hit your knees and say, God, I am sorry. I am sorry. Do you know, if we sin daily, do you know what we ought to do daily? Is we ought to repent daily. If you mess up daily, you know what you ought to do? Get right daily. If your thoughts, and nobody wants these. I've never had a church member ever say, yeah, hey, hook me up to that. You want your thoughts put on that wall for one day? No. We all know that. And you know what ought to be a daily process for us? Hey, Lord, here's my plate. You expose it to the light. But you know what? In darkness, you'd eat off the floor. You know, my mentality is, hey, if I can't see it, quit looking. I told her, I said, you know how you fix this? Quit looking for it. I said, I don't go over to somebody's house. I don't go around and say, hey, you have a cup? Let me see first. Now, Maggie might. Yeah, go like this and say, no. I mean, who does that, you know? I said, quit looking for it. Just because we quit looking for it doesn't mean that we're clean. Just because in the back of your mind, you've just reduced God and what he would accept down to your level doesn't mean it's okay. The bottom line is this. If you admit something happened at Calvary that you can't not deny, you walk around those grounds, you're going to say, I'm going to say to you what happened, and you're going to say, a man died. Who was he? The Son of God. Why did he do it? He did it for you. All right, you can't deny that. Then the next thing that's going to kick in is, okay, Dave, once you've owned that and you've asked him to save you, what is your duty? Well, my duty is to possess my vessel in a manner that's honorable to him so that he can use me. How do I get a clean vessel? The only thing that'll drive the darkness out is the light. I got to let him in. And if I feed the flesh more than I feed the spirit, it's going to be a dark room. May I tell you something? You know what? Any situation you have, you would be surprising what will happen if you just open the windows and let the light in. All of a sudden, you're not so mad anymore. All of a sudden, what was a big deal isn't. All of a sudden, you see yourself for really who you are, which means you got to forgive other people because you need forgiving. And all of a sudden, it becomes a much better place to live because of the light. You know, and you know, when I was little, I was scared of the dark. And I would go running outside as fast as I can, and I would throw the garbage to the road and get it as close to the garbage can. People are laughing because people do that too, and I'm the only one dumb enough to tell everybody about it. One time it ended up in the tree, and that kind of gave me off. But you know, you'd go home, and you just, sometimes when I was little, I just wanted the light on. And my mom said, well, you don't need anything to be afraid of. And she was right. They were just right next door. But may I tell you something? This old world, we just need to leave the light on. Because if you don't, it's going to get real dark and real lonely real fast. And you need every bit of light that you can get. And you get it from his word. You get it from his from preaching. You get it from church. You get it from fellowship. And then you've got to let that light show you what needs to be cleaned up so that you can then take your vessel to the Lord and say, here you go. The best that I can, this represents, your vessel represents to God what you feel about what happened on the cross. Your vessel represents to God what you feel about what happened at that cross. If you're okay with giving God a dirty plate, then that's what you're telling him what you think about what he did for you. Well, during the invitation, don't think about the person next to you and how they could use this. The problem is every one of us. Every one of us have things in our vessel that shouldn't be there to honor the Lord. And if you want help with that, just let the light in. Let's bow your heads, if you would, if you'd stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. As we think about those three things we talked about Calvary and the realization that we cannot deny something happened there. Then the next part of that is, once you've owned that and you've asked Jesus to save you, well then,